Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good morning and welcome to Exceptional Women on Magic 106.7. I'm Kendra Petroni and I'm excited to talk with two-time Emmy winner, national best-selling author, and the longest-sitting anchor on a daily broadcast news program. It's Inside Edition's Deborah Norville. We're so excited to talk with her about some Boston-featured stories that will be on Inside Edition, which is moving to the 7 o'clock time slot on Channel 7 here in Boston starting tomorrow night. Hi, Deborah. Welcome and good morning.
Hi. How are you?
Very good. I cannot believe that you joined Inside Edition in 1995. Did you ever think that 24 years later you'd still be doing this?
Oh, heavens no. I mean, does anybody think in those terms? I've been working here longer than most people's marriages last. Just crazy.
I know.
But it's a good thing.
Why do you think this show has stood the test of time? Because I've been watching it for as long as I can remember, and it seems to stand through all the decades of changes in the news world and different viewership habits, because people get
sure.
news anywhere, anytime,
sure.
and on all kinds of places. And so why do you think Inside Edition has lasted this long? I mean, 24 years.
Well, I think it's a couple of things. First of all, there's that old expression, familiarity breeds contempt, but I think in television, it breeds comfort. I think in a world where so much changes so quickly and sometimes in, you know, such a bizarre way, I think Inside Edition, we're sort of the old reliable. And that doesn't sound very sexy and very, you know, kind of cutting edge.
But it's true.
It's true. And I think people know when they hear that music, bum, bum, ba-da-lum, they know that for the next half hour, whatever they throw up on the TV screen is either going to be interesting or going to be something that, gosh, I never knew that, or it's going to touch an emotional button. It's going to leave you angry. It's going to leave you weepy. It's going to leave you, aw, shucks, gee whiz. It's going to touch one of those emotional buttons that we kind of like to have touched.
And I want to get your take on this because of, you know, the world that we live in with the news and everything going on, you know, in politics. You know, as a woman who is the, by the way, the longest sitting anchor of any daily news program, which I admire you so much for.
Thank you.
I've always been curious to know what you think, because you've been doing this a long time, about how you think the news is being delivered now. I don't know if it's just me, but it seems like anchors now, you know, opinions are sort of kind of included in the way they deliver news, and it's not as sort of straightforward as you always seem to be. I mean, I enjoy watching you. I know you're going to give me the story, and I can choose what my emotion is going to be to that story.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm thrilled to hear that. I take that as a compliment. Years ago, and I think this was probably when I was anchoring the Today Show, I kind of settled on this, and what I decided was I got a lot of opinions on pretty much everything. But I'm not paid in the jobs that I have to deliver my opinions. And so metaphorically, there's a box that's right outside the studio door. And as I walk in the studio, I kind of take all my opinions and I throw them into that box and I pick them back up on my way out. And that's served me well. There was one job I had after I left the Today Show. I did a talk radio show for ABC Radio. Nationwide show. It was awesome. Did it from my house, which was even better. So people like...
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, one of my first guest was Oprah. She did it from Chicago. My second guest was Barbara Walters, who came over to my apartment, sat in my library. Barbara Walters, I gave a nice glass of wine to. And
wow.
We drank a glass of wine, and we spent an hour talking on the radio. So... 1 hour would be sort of a celebrity interview. 1 hour would be a news issue that people had strong opinions about, and we talked to experts and we talked to the listeners. And for that section, and then the third section hour of the show, which was just open phones and people just called in and chatted, I was allowed to share my opinions, and it was very difficult for me because I had been so used to, for so many years, not expressing publicly what I felt about things that I had a hard time doing that, and my producer was great and really worked with me to help me feel that it was okay to do that.
Right.
The one thing I figured out, you don't need to know my opinion, and I frankly don't need to know yours because
right.
we're all entitled to feel what we feel, and that was abortion. Because that's such a hot button issue and people feel so strongly about it. But what I did decide was this guy called Roger Rosenblatt, who was a very prominent writer in the 90s, he got it right. He said, what we can agree on with respect to abortion is that the need for an abortion, that someone would want an abortion, that's a very sad thing. And we can agree on that.
Mm-hmm.
So let's agree on that and then let's not talk about it because we're probably going to get into a fight.
Right.
So yeah, I do try to leave my opinions in that little box, but I may be one of the few because there is so much opinionated, quote, news going on out there. And that ain't news. That's editorial.
Right. And that's what I'm so curious to get the opinion, ironically, from somebody like you who's been a news anchor and you've been on a national stage for so long. You know, for our viewers and people
right.
listening to our show, you know, maybe we have younger viewers listening to our show and all they know is getting their news from social media or,
sure.
you know, somebody's Twitter post. And it's not always the exact fact or just the story itself.
Yeah.
It is editorialized and I think it's very hard.
Well, it's not always. It's not always. I mean, that's kind of a blanket statement. It's not always editorialized. But I think what we need to do, and I'm sure it's something you try to do on your program, and I think responsible journalists out there are also doing the same, and that is to make sure that we are educating our viewers and our listeners so that they can discern what's editorial, what's opinion, and what's unvarnished fact. And what I've realized, Kendra, is we're in this very incendiary time, it's important for us. Remember how when you were in school and you had to do a report and you had to footnote it?
Yes.
Remember that, quote, show your work?
Yes, yes, all the time.
We got to show our work when we do our
Good
reporting.
Point.
We have to show our work. And so a few weeks ago, there was some story. It got a lot of play just because it was such an upsetting bit of video. Some cop had shot some guy's chihuahua. It's a 9-pound little teeny dog.
Mm-hmm.
It, quote, in self-defense.
Right.
And the guy had his cell phone out when the cop is being belligerent and happened to be rolling when the cop shot his dog. And so that piece of video was very upsetting. And of course, we didn't show the people the actual dog being shot, but right up until that moment. So you knew what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And the tag on that story was a fact that I had found. Justice Department figures. And the Department of Justice, believe it or not, actually had collated how many dogs had been killed by law enforcement. This is a fact that our government thinks is important to know. And the fact was, it was 10,000 dogs a year, and so we divided it down to however many dogs a day that is. Ordinarily, I would have said, and believe it or not, this happens more than you think. Every day, X number of dogs are killed by law enforcement in America. And that would have been the sentence. Now I say, according to the Department of Justice,
right.
I show my work. It's important for people to know that when I tell them something on Inside Edition, that this is a fact that we researched, and here's where we found it. And if you don't believe us, you can go to the Department of Justice website. You can find it yourself.
Right. That's a very good point, and I like the way that you referenced, the way we used to write papers and how we always had to show our work, because I have three young children. I mean, they're very small. They're under 9 years old. And I mean, my 9-year-old daughter would have no idea what that means. I mean, she just assumes I can go to YouTube and Twitter and that's where I can get everything 100% fact and I don't need to look or research. And I do think it's important. If you're just waking up and tuning in, you're listening to Exceptional Women on Magic 106.7. And we've been chatting with Deborah Norville. She's the anchor of Inside Edition. She's a 2-time Emmy winner, best-selling author, and she's the longest sitting anchor on a daily broadcast news program. And she'll be talking a lot about Boston on Inside Edition during tomorrow night's show. Let's get back to our conversation. When I think of how long you've been at the top of such a major news program, and then I think about you, and you have three children.
Yeah.
At one point, your children were babies and you were working, and I only work in radio and my level is nothing compared to what yours is. How did you do it? Because I know we have a lot of women listeners, and I saw something somewhere that said, you know, they want you to be a mother, like you don't go to work or something. There was a quote that said you basically can't have both. Like it's almost impossible for women to be a full-time mom and then go to work in an office job. How did you do it? And what's your advice for women out there who still have that fear that you can't do both?
Well,
100%?
You know what? You got to do both, because that's the reality. I don't know a lot of people who work just because they love getting dressed and putting on makeup. They work because they get a paycheck at the end of the week.
Exactly.
And, you know, we work because we have to. We work because we have families and mortgages and school payments and doctor bills. That's why we work. Mm-hmm. And we have families because that's what gives our life meaning. So the challenge is to find a way to weave the two together. The lucky ones of us have employers who understand that at times the home fire has to be tended. You know, if the kid breaks their leg, you've got to take them to the doctor and get it x-rayed and get a cast on it. And whatever your job is just going to simply have to go done by someone else. The lucky ones of us have coworkers with whom we have a relationship that's good enough that they'll cover for us. They'll help us out. They'll keep that plate spinning when we have to run over here and do something else. And and so I think it's important in your work family to have good relationships with the people that you work for and the people you work alongside. That makes it a lot easier when the emergency happens, and it will, to have somebody to back you up. And you have to be willing to be the person that pulls the other guy's weight,
right,
too, when you know,
goes both ways.
So you know what hits their fan.
Right.
And I think for me, I made career changes because of my family. Look, let's be honest. I left the Today Show right before they pushed me. I had just had my first child. I probably could have sued NBC for discrimination, but I probably wouldn't be the longest running anchor in American television if I'd done that, because those kinds of actions tend to get you marked, and you get marked as somebody you don't want to work with or hire because they're litigious. So I didn't go that route, and I didn't get piles of money, but I've had a long career, so, you know, it's all fine.
I think you're doing pretty well.
It's okay. Yeah, I'm not complaining. But then I was a correspondent at CBS News, which I loved, traveling literally around the world, doing amazing stories, sharing information with people, meeting unbelievable people, doing, you know, Emmy Award-winning work, and being away from my family. And when my second kid was on the way, I thought, man, I don't think I can do this. Mm-hmm. There were women at the network who did have lots of kids and were correspondents, and I would marvel at how they were doing it, and I just thought, I can't do that. Yeah. I knew what my limits were. And so knowing what my limits were, I then said, okay, I got to find something else I can do in television that will enable me to be the at-home mom that I have to be, because I couldn't ask my husband to, you know, do it alone. I imposed enough, I think, on his goodwill. So, you know, we all know what the limits are in our lives.
Right.
And so that's when I learned that there was an opportunity to come to Inside Edition. And the thing that helped me decide, you know what, it would actually be okay to go over there, was I had done a story for the magazine show I was working on. It was Ed Bradley was the anchor, and I was just a correspondent. I had done a story for that show that Inside Edition had done the exact same story. And I went, whoa, we're doing the same material. And they're looking for an anchor, and an anchor means you are literally ball and chain to the desk, which means you're not jumping on planes. So that's why I made the switch. And there was a writer for the Washington Post, a guy who's no longer in the business, who actually said of me that I was selling my credibility by going to Inside Edition.
Huh.
And the old me, who had gotten beaten up by the press, would have gone into the fetal position and just, you know, like, ooh.
Yeah.
The new me was like, you know what? And I responded, and I said, I thought this was really good. I said, I had no idea that my credibility as a journalist had to do with the peacock or the eyeball that appeared on my paycheck.
Wow.
I think it has something to do with how I do what I do. And so I just kind of ignored him, and everybody else did. And here I am all these years later. So you make the choices that are right for you. And when you make those choices that you know are right for you, whether it's a career choice or a lifestyle choice, when you know it's right for you, that confidence that you have is almost like a coat of Kevlar.
Mm-hmm.
It enables you to withstand those well-intentioned and I say that charitably, naysayers who question your choice. Who say, mm-hmm. oh, I don't know, might not be a good, it could be a career ender. You know, they've all got that opinion that they, quote, helpfully share.
Absolutely.
And you go, you know, thank you for sharing. This is what's right for me. And
right.
you can just ignore them and do what you know to be right for you.
If you're just waking up and tuning in, you're listening to Exceptional Women on Magic 106.7. And we've been talking with Inside Edition's Deborah Norville. She's a 2-time Emmy winner, best-selling author, and the longest-sitting anchor on a daily broadcast news program. Inside Edition, by the way, has been the number one syndicated news magazine for decades, and they'll be moving to the 7 o'clock time slot on Channel 7 here in Boston starting tomorrow night. Let's continue our conversation. Speaking of Inside Edition, you know, you guys, you get involved in so many communities and great stories, but I love, of course, when Boston is ever featured.
Yeah, well, we're going to be big because we're coming back to Channel 7. We've been moved to the Late, Late, Late Show on another channel. We've been on Channel 5 forever, but now, beginning Monday, we're going to be on Channel 7 at 7, easy to remember, and we've got a really good Boston story to start the week off.
I know. I was going to ask you about, you know, I saw they were giving away bikes and helmets to underprivileged children. I mean, what can you tell us about it, if anything, about what we can expect?
Well, we love to team up with local charities in different cities around the country. And I mean, it's not like we do it every 6 weeks or something like that, but on a fairly regular basis, every community you go to in America, there are kids who deserve to have more than they have. And so we've teamed up with one of the charities, and we're providing bikes. As spring is, you know, supposedly around the corner, it's cold as I'll get out right now, but as, you know, spring is coming, kids are going to be outside, they're going to want to play, and we've teamed up with a local charity, and we've just, you know, found a bunch of underprivileged kids who don't have bikes and ought to, and they're going to have them after we do this story.
I know, I love it. I can't wait for the good weather. And sort of tagging on to that story, you know, all of us here in Boston, you know, we knew Pats fans, we knew Gronk was going to retire soon, and I love that you're going to have a finance expert talking about how Gronk has managed his money so well, because we always hear these stories about celebrities and athletes
sure.
who just, you know, squander millions of dollars, and you think, how in the world did you were making $30 million a year, how did you get that to, you know, be down to nothing? What can we expect to hear from that expert, you know, when it comes to Gronk? Or
yeah, your local hero. Well, Ron Gronkowski has been one of the most entertaining guys in the NFL for a very long time.
That's for sure.
And I think if you just, you know, look at him on the flatbed truck during the last victory parade, you think, you know, the guy's got to be a total knucklehead. He is not.
Right,
and,
exactly.
And in his own memoir, he talked about the fact that he has always bankrolled his NFL check. And
wow.
he finances his life with the endorsement money he gets. Now, when you're Ron Gronkowski, everybody wants you to be representing your product, so that's not a small figure. But
right.
he has been very, very purposeful about that. So consequently, he has the financial wherewithal to do anything he would like, and he will never be that athlete that those kinds of stories are done. So how do we, who don't make $30 million a year NFL contracts or whatever it is Gronkowski's paid, how do we translate that into our lives? So you've got your paycheck, and then maybe you've got your side hustle. Most of us probably have to live off our paycheck. Our side hustle wouldn't be as attractive as the one that Gronkowski's got.
Right.
But that side hustle can be your saving money. So my son's a DJ on the weekends, and his DJ money goes into a separate kitty, and that's his side hustle. I have had a knitting yarn business for
a
while. It's just ended. I'm so bummed.
I can't believe you. Were you a seamstress? Is that true?
Totally, yeah. I made all my own clothes when I was younger, when I first started my career, because I've only made $150 a week. That was my starting pay when I began in this business. And I couldn't even afford to buy fabric at full price. I had to buy the remnants. But that was how I got my start in television, was I wore homemade clothes. If you go onto
my
website, dnorville.com, and you look at some of the early days of the publicity shots that are on there, most of those outfits I sewed myself.
That's unbelievable to
yeah.
me, right
so,
there alone.
Yeah, so you think about what skills do I have? What, what can I do that will generate an additional income? And when you look long and hard and creatively, there's probably something you could do. So if I have always felt in the whatever decades I've been working in television, I have always known in the back of my mind, if things really went south on me, I could take in sewing. I could be a seamstress. I could alter people's clothes. People pay so much. I hear about women who pay $25.
Oh, it's
unbelievable.
They
have a skirt hem. I'm like, are you crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Let me show you. So one of the first things I did was teach my kids how to hem a skirt, how to hem their pants, because you're going to be poor. you will not be able to afford $25 to pay somebody else.
See, that's what I need to learn. My mother always yells at me, I can't sew a button on my shirt. And she's like, Kendra, you've got to get this down.
She should yell at you. You need to learn this.
I know. Well, we're out of time, but I just want to ask you one more thing. You know, you've covered thousands of stories. You've connected with so many people through the last 24 years on the air. Is there one story or one moment that stands out to you as either the best or the most memorable of everything you've covered?
There's a story that always stands out when I get a variation of that question, because to me, the headline it falls under is, a mother's love can move mountains. And this is the story of a woman who was diagnosed with multiple myeloma, which is an incurable form of bone cancer, blood-borne cancer. And when she was diagnosed quite a few years ago, she and her sister looked it up in the library. This was before the internet. And they found that diagnosis to death, 4 years, there is no cure, and there doesn't appear to be anybody looking for one because there's no research money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a very hopeful outlook. I thought, we'll never raise enough money to find a cure. But maybe we could raise enough money to fund small research projects out there. So they took a venture capital approach. They created a foundation that raised money. They got a scientific committee together, people who knew what this illness was, and a bunch of experts, including people right there in the Boston area at Dana-Farber. And they seeded promising research with the idea that, you know, if this outfits onto something, Big Pharma will come in and take the research the rest of the way. Well, it was the right approach. From no drugs to treat this disease, there are now at least 7 drugs in widespread use for patients of multiple myeloma.
Wow.
It is no longer an automatic death sentence. The woman who should have died more than 15 years ago is very much alive. Her name is Kathy Giusti. She's a graduate of Harvard Business School. She's been recognized as one of Time Magazine's 100 most influential people. And from changing the outlook for people with myeloma, she's also changed the way cancer research is done, because they felt like if you're getting our money, you have to share your data. So they insisted that everyone who was doing myeloma research funded through their organization had to share their research data through the Myeloma Consortium. That's now become the way research is being done across the board in many diseases. Why should everybody be duplicating the same research when, if you do it once, you share it with me, I jump on what you're doing, piggyback, and take it further. And the result is that people are alive today and having meaningful, healthy lives because of this woman. So
that's amazing.
And it all started because she was a mom, and she was, you know, trying to get pregnant and have another baby.
Yeah.
And a mom's love will make things happen that nobody else can do.
Ain't that the truth?
Ain't that absolutely the truth?
Well, Deborah, it has been so exciting for me to talk with you. I've been such a fan of yours. I've been watching you on TV my whole life. And you were one of the role models that I sort of looked up to, wanting to get into entertainment or radio or TV here in Boston, where there wasn't as much as there is, you know, out in LA and New York. You were sort of the one glimmer of hope that I had, that, you know, you were a female, you were the head, the star, you know, the anchor of the show. So I think you are a role model to a lot of women, and it's been a pleasure to have you.
It's been my pleasure. What a great way to start the day. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
Thank you to Inside Edition's Deborah Norville for being in the spotlight today on Exceptional Women. We talk to celebrities and CEOs, but we're also interested in your neighbors, coworkers, and friends who are quietly making an impact in their communities. Email us if you know someone you'd like to suggest. We'd love to hear from you. And be sure to join us every Sunday morning at 7:30 for another edition of Exceptional Women. Thanks for listening, and have a great day, everyone.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.